sit back, stand idly by, watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my power, don't tread on my guts. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only son. Don't tread on me, don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Time has come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land, from sea to sea. Don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends. Gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on my freedom, God's only son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. Second hour of Your Defending Fathers with Trucker Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. Joining us in the second hour every Friday is Pastor Chatfield, who prepares a history lesson for us. And today the subject is John Locke. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. John Locke has to be considered the grandfather of our Declaration of Independence and our the Constitution, in a sense, of our country. Why? Because he's a political philosopher, yes, and a Bible believer, which I have to emphasize because I read so many. I read so many things. So, well, John Locke was a philosopher, a child of the Enlightenment, and he kind of went beyond the Bible. That is not true. So, let me start off by saying this about Locke. He said concerning the Bible, "The Bible is one of the greatest blessings bestowed by God on the children of men. It has God for its author, salvation for its end, and truth without any mixture for its matter. It is all pure, all sincere, nothing too much, nothing wanting." In other words, he was a thinking Christian, and it was John Locke's ideas that are found throughout the entire Declaration of Independence. And never forget this, that the Constitution rests on the Declaration. These two documents need to be understood in context with each other. I mean, just recently in September, there was an argument between Senator Tim Kaine in Virginia and Ted Cruz about where rights come from. And Kaine says, hey, well, that's what, believing that rights come from our Creator, that's what the Iranians believe. And Ted Cruz let him have it. I mean, there couldn't be. Was Senator Kaine completely ignorant of our history, of the Declaration, of our Constitution, of John Locke, of Thomas Jefferson? I don't know that he was or he wasn't, but maybe he was. Now, John Locke was born in 1632, died in 1704, so he was long before our Declaration. Thomas Jefferson, the author of our Declaration, had three men that he greatly respected and honored: John Locke, Sir Isaac Newton, and Sir Francis Bacon. All three of those were brilliant men, but we're talking about John Locke, grandfather of the Declaration of Independence. And you need to understand the social compact theory of government, which is what the Bible teaches, I'm convinced. You heard me say that if we have to have a philosophy of government, it's found in the Declaration, and it is a Christian idea of government. It's a Christian idea. And if you don't if you disagree, then you either, one, don't understand the Declaration, or you don't understand the Bible, or both. All right? The social compact theory of government rests on the idea that God gives rights to individuals and that individuals compact with each other, agree with each other to set up a government. Here's what Locke said about when Noah got off the ark. He said, that action, pact, agreement, which God made with Noah after the deluge, the flood. Genesis 9:6. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. God gave mankind, individuals first, then compacting with each other, the ability, the authority, the responsibility of setting up government.
Very good. Perfect spot for a break. We'll continue learning more about John Locke from Pastor Chatfield. I'm Chuck and Randy, where you're defending fathers. We'll be right back.
Hey everybody, it's Trucker Randy, the Yo-Yo Diet King. I have literally lost hundreds of pounds in my life. SlimFast in the 90s, Nutrisystem in 2000, South Beach, Superfoods, they all worked in the short term, only to gain it all back, plus some. Now that I'm 65, I really wanted to find a program that would increase my metabolism to burn my belly fat, bring my hormones back to my younger days without any exercising. Then I met Missy of MyPure Health Solutions. She explained how her program does exactly what I was looking for. Go to TruckerRandyHealth.com. Follow my journey with Missy and see that I dropped 22 pounds of body fat in the first 14 days without exercising and eating real foods. Again, go to TruckerRandyHealth.com and schedule a free consultation or call Missy at 269-964-4044. Let Missy change your metabolism just like she's changed mine. Do it today.
If you have pain in your back, neck, shoulders, hip, knees, wrists, or feet, Dr. Gary Willey's Chiropractic Services in Sheboygan has a robotic laser treatment for you. This technology takes away pain, inflammation, and promotes healing. Experience robotic laser pain relief at a special new customer price. Call us for fast relief Monday through Wednesday to learn more and to schedule an appointment at 231-627-4300. Again, 231-627-4300.
Chuck and Randy here. Let's face it, we're all getting older, but we don't have to feel the pains of getting older. Most people and even our pets have daily pain. Don't let pain slow you down. Get natural relief with CBD products from Patriots Relief. Designed by nature and trusted by millions, CBD synergistically works with your body to naturally relieve pain along with many other benefits. CBD is not marijuana and you will not get high. Vicky and I trust Patriots Relief products because they truly work. Go to their website, patriotsrelief.com, then call Tim and his family at 877-230-1776. Mention the promo code TR1 to get the biggest discounts. Again, call 877-230-1776 and mention TR1. Patriotsrelief.com.
Out there that own firearms, are looking to buy a new or used gun, or fix up that old piece at a good price, there's Curtis Gunsmithing. Not too far off the beaten path at 9996 Picker Lake Road in Petoskey, Mr. Tom Curtis is an AGI-certified gunsmith and firearm connoisseur. Don't send your gun out or travel far away for your specialized gun work. You have a friend in your own backyard. Call Curtis Gunsmithing today, 231-347-3487.
Everybody, welcome back into the show. Going through a lesson plan, history plan with Pastor Chatfield regarding John Locke. Who was he and what impact did he have on a founding, basically, a Pastor Chatfield of our country?
Right. He is. Yeah. Thomas Jefferson was a disciple of Locke. All the founders were. They all believed what Locke said. I mean, the Declaration of Independence, you have the ideas of Locke sprinkled throughout the whole thing. And Jefferson said he was, John Locke, Sir Isaac Newton, Sir Francis Bacon were his three heroes. If you go into Monticello, as I have, you see pictures, there's paintings of those men. He was a disciple of Locke. Thomas Jefferson was. All right. Locke believed in the social compact theory of government. Now, let me start, though, with talking about where, how does law come into existence? From God, two individuals who agree with each other to set up a government and obey the laws. That is our system of government. For a senator of the United States to not understand that or deny it, I wouldn't mind if he just simply said this. If Cain would have said, look, our founding was Christian, our founding was done by Christian white men, and we need to abandon it, abandon the Declaration of Independence, and throw out the Constitution and start all over. Let's have a war, and whoever gets power will tell us what our rights are. That in essence, see, during this period when the let me start with speak a little bit of English history because it's kind of important to know some of it. 1603, the Stuart kings of England came into power. James I, the first Stuart king, followed by Charles I and Charles II and James II. That's when England was that's when later, after, during the reign of Charles II, they had a civil war, and the Commonwealth was created, and they didn't have a king for a while in England. And that's when a lot of these ideas about government, people were writing, because you couldn't write before. Locke didn't even publish his two treaties on government till 1689, when you came, and they brought over William and Mary, and we had a new set of kings and queens. We said, we're not going to believe this. That's when freedom really started to take hold philosophically in England. But even then, not completely. Because up through George III, who was a Hanover king, he still had the idea of divine right. What is divine right? Divine right is the idea that God puts the king there, and the king is only answerable to God. Not answerable to the people. Not even answerable to Parliament. He's answerable only to God. And we don't believe that. We don't believe that. Let me quote our declaration. When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another. See, what we have the power to do that. Okay, because we believe that God is the giver of freedoms, and we have organized our government, compacted with each other in this social compact idea, which is a biblical idea. Okay. We got to tell people, okay, this is to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them. We believe that there is law of nature and the law of nature's God. What does that phrase mean? Last time I talked about William Blackstone, who was about 100 years after Locke, and was writing his commentaries on the laws of England about in the 1760s. And everybody that was at the Independence Hall, they knew about Blackstone and they knew about Locke, and their ideas are very similar. The laws of nature is talking about natural law. As I've explained to you guys before, God made the earth and he built into it certain fundamental laws of nature, natural laws, whether it's scientific, whether it's political, there's certain fundamental laws. Laws, and Blackstone says any law that contradicts a law of nature is void. It is not a law, and because we would appeal to the law of nature. Now, here's what John Locke said about that. He said, and I'm reading from his two treatises on government. Pastor Chatfield, have you read it? Yes, I've read both his two treatises on government and his one a little bit before that, is of civil government. One of the reasons I read it is because I read people saying, well, this is what Locke said, or he believed. I said, it's not what he believed. Have you read? What, have you read it? No. They obviously didn't, or they're just not being honest. Okay. Yes, I've read these things, and so let me quote from Locke, who says this. Human laws are measures in respect of men whose actions they must direct. Albeit such measures they are as have also a higher rules to be measured by. In other words, whatever laws humankind makes, man makes, there are higher laws. Which rules are two? The law of God and the law of nature. So that the laws human must be made according to the general laws of nature. That's what I was just referring to. The laws of nature. Again, let me reference you back to our Declaration of Independence. Quote, to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them. There are natural laws that are, for instance, if somebody is trying to kill you and they are beating you up and you think they are going to kill you, the laws of nature say what? I'm going to defend myself.
You have the right to defend your life.
Right. That is it's such a fundamental law of nature. I can't remember which one of our founding fathers says. He says every bug sees that. There's a bug crawling on the sidewalk, and you try to step on it. That bug's defense is to flee, to get away. And by the way, if the bug could bite you, it would bite you. We're just much bigger than bugs. But every creature tries to survive, either by fleeing or by fighting. If you can fight, you'll fight. Okay, it's the fundamental law to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them. That's our Declaration of Independence. All right, again, human laws must be made according to the general laws of nature and without any contradiction to any positive law of Scripture. Otherwise, they are ill-made. The phrase, and William Blackstone says the exact same thing, to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them. The laws of nature is natural law. The laws of nature's God is the Bible. That's why, if you read the debates and all the discussions that we had, whether or not it was in the Second Continental Congress when we were debating independence or the Constitutional Convention 11 years later when you're writing the Constitution, that's why the Bible is spoken of all the time. Because it is the law of the land, the ultimate law of the land. Now, I get it. Article 6 of our Constitution declares that the Constitution is the supreme law of the land. But they weren't contradicting Locke here of human laws in our country. The United States Constitution is supreme, but it is never higher than the laws of nature, ever. There is, as Blackstone said, the laws of nature and the laws of the Bible supersede all laws. Any law made in contradiction to it are void. And that is what Jefferson wrote. Listen to the second paragraph. And this comes exactly from Locke again. We hold these truths, and you ought to tell this to Senator Kaine, we hold these truths to be self-evident. Now, the first, when Jefferson wrote that, he came back with the idea of sacred. And as you know, I know because you mentioned this, Franklin said, let's put self-evident. Whether you call it sacred, comes from God. It's a sacred truth. And it's an obvious truth. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. God gives to individuals these rights. Now, why did God give government? Why did God tell us to have government? That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. Senator Kaine, did you never read that? People get their rights from God, and governments get their rights from the people. And that's why we make laws. And then because we made the laws, we obey the laws. Now, the next phrase of the Declaration, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it. and to institute a new government, laying its foundations on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. The whole basis of our war for independence was that Great Britain, the King George III, and the Parliament had so far usurped proper biblical authority and or if you want to call it natural authority, that it was time for us to throw off such government. They had gone so far beyond their God-given authority that we had to institute a new government. That's what we believed. And that's why we had a Declaration of Independence. And by the way, who believed that? Everybody believed that. The debates at the Second Continental Congress concerning independence, it wasn't about do we believe what Jefferson wrote. That wasn't a debate. Everybody believed what he wrote. The question was this: is now the time? Has King George III gone so far that we must do this? And another debate was, even if he has, do we have any shot at all at winning? Can we possibly win a war for independence against the strongest nation on earth? Here we are, 3 million people, no organized army. Yeah, we had a lot of farmers with guns, but we had no organized national army. Now, by 1776, we did. Okay, that started in 75, but very, very weak. Zero navy. We had no navy. And George Washington, who had some experience from the French and Indian War, he was the head of the Continental Army. But it was a mammoth step of faith. And that's why they said in the last phrase, in the last sentence of the Declaration of Independence, that we are, and for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives and our fortunes and our sacred honor. I mean, they're giving it all.
Sure.
And that was what was happening. I know this is kind of dull, no doubt, to some of our listeners, because there's not a lot of, but John Locke is just super important. Okay, I'm going to take a breath and have you ask questions before I start talking more about what he wrote.
Right, because one of the things that people need to understand, where was he born? Where did he live?
Okay, well, he was born in Britain. I think he was from Scotland, which was a part of Britain. And he grew up during the reign of James I, Charles I. And boy, the ideas that he was promoting were anathema to kings. You mean people get rights from God? You mean that I can't do whatever I think I ought to do? That was considered a traitor. That's why his two treaties on government wasn't published till 1689, with a little bit friendlier William and Mary brought over from the Netherlands, relatives, I think, distant, I think, of James, the Jameses and the Charles. But nevertheless, yeah. That's when he lived. It was back in those days. It was you'd be put to death for writing things like he wrote, and the same thing's true with Samuel Rutherford. Now William Blackstone wrote 100 years later, and by that time they weren't putting people to death for writing things people didn't agree with. But I will guarantee you that King George III wouldn't have agreed with William Blackstone either.
Yeah, interesting, interesting. We're going to take a bottom of the hour news break. More history lesson with Pastor Chatfield. We'll be right back.
This is Michigan News Source.